Big up to Smokey J.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah.
Doc PLC.
Yeah.
Sweetness. Renegade.
Yeah.
Drill.
Yeah. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros.
Bears,
brews, and the bros.
Yeah,
bears, brews, and the bros. Fun with a shoe with them poles. Keep it real smooth with them hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Bears, brews, and the bros. Fun with a shoe with them poles. Keeping it smooth for you hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Yeah, get paid. Going against the grain. Push your hard line. Like Renegade. Page and Doc. Time to operate. Nothing sweet when the sweetness debate. Yeah, yeah, you know the drill. Stack more paper. Major players. Led by the fornicator. Smoking Jay. He fucking the game up. Came up. Dropping fire since day one. Yeah, it's boozing the bros. From where they shoot with them poles. Keep it real smooth with them hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Bears, boozing the bros. From where they shoot with them poles. Keeping it smooth for you hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks.
Yeah,
bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros.
Tap in, be sure to subscribe. Smash that like button. Drop a comment. Yeah.
Welcome back to Bears, Brews, and the Bros. It's your boy Smoking Jay up in the house with my brothers over here. We got Sweetness, we got Drill, and today we got the top 12 running backs for Dynasty. This is going to be the first out of two-part series because we're going to hit you guys with the 13 through 24 on the next one. First up, we got first through 12. But man, before we get all up into that, it's been a while, man. It's been a hot minute since we back up in here. But we back in it. A little rusty, but it's all good. We'll shake it off, man. How y'all feeling tonight?
A little loose. Outstanding. Yeah, man. Just get ready, man, bro. Tomorrow's Father's Day, man. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Oh, and happy Juneteenth, man. Everybody, that shit's all over the gram, everything else like that. They just set this federal holiday up, bro. You know, celebrating the end of slavery and shit, man. Get your knowledge up, bro. We all about that over here with the Bears, Brews, and the Bros, bro. So
that's stay woke, man. Power to the people. Equalization all across the board. You know, we all there. And we ready to go, man. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. Get ready to dive into these rankings and let everybody know that we on the same page, if not better. You know, there's a lot of analysts out here, but we got the same type of smoke, if not better. You know, we like to dive in the right way. You know, talk about a lot of stuff, injuries, coaches, this way, that way, isms, shout out Bo Jeezy. But yeah, Brody, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. Like Brody said, you know, happy Father's Day, all the fathers out there trying to do the right thing day in and day out, man. Much respect to all of you guys out there. And yeah, man, happy Juneteenth too. Like you said, man, they made it official, federal holiday, and we're all about that over here. So running backs, man, top 12 consensus. You know, shout out Doc, shout out Renegade. They did give us their list. Actually, scratch that. Doc didn't. You know, you guys already know how Santa Claus has them working all year round. But Renegade turned in his list. This is a combination of the four of us, top 12. And after this, like I said, the next episode is going to be the 13th through the 24th. So, man, let's get into it, man. Who's our number one running back for Dynasty, Brody?
Number one running back for Dynasty. This one is not too tough for any of us. We're going C-Mac all day. Christian McCaffrey. We know what he's done. We know the kind of guy that he is. Prototypical back in the league. You can put any more sauce on this guy. He does it all day, every day. It's just too much smoke coming from CMC. And I picked him for a reason. And you know, for anybody that doesn't know the way we break it down, we all pick our running backs to break down, but this one was really easy for me. Three out of his four seasons, he's finished no less than the number 10 running back in fantasy, PPR-wise, which is everything you guys should be doing anyway. So in the only season he wasn't available, I'm not going to count that against him. because every other season that he has played, he's given you 16 game slates. You know, for instance, we're talking about if he was on pace last year to finish where he was, he would have finished as an RB1 over Kamara. Not by a lot, but he still would have finished as an RB1 going off of his pace, where he scored, you know, in three games. The kid literally scored, let me see, where are my notes at? Where is he at? He scored 25, 20, and 27 points. If we're even relating him to any quarterbacks, he had more fantasy points than Patty Mahomes last year. And we're talking about breaking it down to a decimal. He would have finished, you know, right in front of Patty Mahomes, right behind Aaron Rodgers as a number four quarterback. So CMC puts up quarterback numbers. Like I said, he hasn't finished no less than 10 in his three full seasons. And he doesn't miss games when he does play a full slate season. You know, the kid is just nasty. In, what was it, 2019, he finished 150 fantasy points in front of Aaron Jones, who is number two. 150 points ahead of the number two running back in 2019. That's nasty. We talked about that, too, on the show a minute ago. That's a lot of points, bro. We're talking a dynamic change and a shift in a team, a shift in power. When you own or you roster, my bad. When you roster CMC, you literally have a guy that's a QB1 slash RB1 slash wide receiver one. Just nasty with it. There's nothing that you can say about CMC that can hold him back, bro. He's literally averaging like 25 points per game fantasy wise since he's been here. I cannot argue that. I will not argue that. Nobody could take it from him. We're talking about the Carolina Panthers and what they do. I don't care who's there. Teddy Bridgewater was there last year. Doesn't matter. The kid from the Jets is coming in this year. I don't care who's there. Really don't care. He's durable. He's a machine. PPR is crazy. He is the standard of what a running back should be in the NFL, plus some.
I'm with that, man. I'm with that. Go ahead, Drew. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Like I said, most definitely. Like not my number one in my rankings. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing I thought about was motherfucker injury. He's definitely right behind. You know what I'm saying? I just only looked at the amount of games. That was it. I don't care what it, but the thing is that workload is there for that guy. He's always been that guy. He's always fucking cooking up fucking all sorts of shit, bro. Like, I don't know. The guy's just a fucking monster. I hated it. I you know, I owned him last year. And honestly, if he was on the field and he was healthy and he was working out, I'd probably be a champion in the Dynasty League. I probably would have came number one if he was playing. So, you know what I'm saying? And that's not the reason why I got him at number two. You know what I'm saying? I just think that maybe based on his workload, I don't know what's going to happen. And I know that's in behind, you know, some people's mind. But go ahead and roster you some Chuba Hubbard or some shit like that if you're worried. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we all know that C-Max workload is not going to fucking change over there, bro. I don't give a fuck what new quarterback is there. They know that that guy's a fucking monster. And he's going to get some no-brainer with that guy, for real.
How you feel? Yeah, man. I mean, no, number one, I got no issues with it. My number one is the guy we're going to talk about next. But before we get into that, I mean, he's still 25 years old. They lost Curtis Samuel. You know, targets are up there, you know, for grabs type shit. Sam Darnold coming in should be able to run this offense a lot more smoother. Nah, man, CMC number one, it's hard to argue. It really, really is, man. This guy's PPR money. Brody, you talked about the amount of fantasy points this guy averaged. It's just crazy, man. So anybody that has CMC, you know, you should feel pretty good about it. And if you don't, I mean, just see what you could get for him, honestly. If you have some sort of doubt about having – if you currently have CMC on your team and you're really, really worried about, you know, whatever, shop him around. See what you could get. And send us the DM or the trade if you're not so sure about it, and we'll let you guys know how we feel about it. But we're going to get into our number two dynasty running back, he's actually my number one. And that's Jonathan Taylor, man. Last year came on the scene. There was a lot of questions, you know, how much of the role is he going to take at that running back spot? You know, they had Marlon Mack, who was still healthy at the time. Nyheim Hines, you knew he was going to have his role. And, you know, it was just a matter of, can Jonathan Taylor answer all those questions about fumbling issues that he had in college, man? He came in, balled the fuck out. This dude finished number six as a running back without even getting the full bulk of the carries over there, of the workload over there. Nyheim Hines definitely has a role in his team. And, you know, coming into this year, I know they re-signed Marlon Mack. I'm not worried about it. One-year deal. I'm not worried about Jordan Wilkins. This guy, you know, the game script is going to be favorable for Jonathan Taylor. He has a top five offensive line, you know, right there for him. In five games last year where he had 20-plus touches, this guy averaged 24 fantasy points per game in a full PPR. You know, they got to feature this guy. The defense is going to help. It's going to dictate that pace. Now you got a quarterback in Carson Wentz, reunited with Frank Reich. It should help things out for that offense as a whole, man. So behind that O-line, better quarterback, familiar with the system, you know, second-year player with a more regular type of year. You know, that COVID thing did impact people last year. I don't care what nobody says. This guy's going to come in knowing what his role is on this team, and he's going to be dominating at the running back position for at least the next 5 years, man. Jonathan Taylor is a beast, man. So, yeah, if you guys have him right now, you should feel really, really good. I know Brody over there, you're quiet looking down. You should be feeling really, really good right now rostering him over there. But Jonathan Taylor, the truth, man. Let me know what you guys think.
Yeah, man, when you decide to let a guy of that caliber, you know, go ahead and take over that backfield with the type of offensive line that you have in place, it really doesn't matter what's going on the outside. You know, most teams that are built in the NFL, at least I feel like they start from the inside out. And that goes to tell, you know, what their number. I think they were number four ranked offensive line as far as rushing goes last season. Quentin Nelson's there. He's a dog. And they got Carson Wentz there now, who I don't know how much he checks down to backs. We know Nyheim Hines has his role. He's got his place. But, you know, we see it. We've seen it. And in the back end of last season, I mean, he's going 28 fantasy points, 15, 19, 37. I mean, 37 was the irrelevant one because that was in week 17. But at the end of the day, when you give a guy like that with that much talent, that many touches, he will produce. And that's where I'm at with him. And, you know, I'm looking down at my phone just admiring the fact that he's that good. I know he's that good. And, you know, for dynasty purposes, I did have him at number two. I had him at number two. He's a dog. And with pieces around him, that's the thing for me. When you have pieces around people and they can still produce, that's the kicker for me. And you know, with C-Mac, there's a no-brainer. I mean, who are we talking about? A handcuff with Chuba Hubbard. That's cool and all. But there's nobody taking any. Nobody has a specific role yet. We don't know that yet. And even if they did, C-Mac is just that much better. Jonathan Taylor has his role, and he's just that great. He can still do that with that team for years to come. So completely agree with the Jonathan Taylor. I love it.
That's cool, bro. Yeah, I like him where we at consensus-wise. I think I had him at number three or number four or some shit like that. He was definitely in my top five. So I'm with there with you guys. And if Reich and the boys and the Colts are fucking smart, man, use him for what he's used for. You know what I'm saying, man? Get him out there. You seen the numbers that he produced towards the back end of the season and everything else like that. Let that boy start. Let him be the workhorse. You got options to go to give him rest and people who can still do it. I know Marlon Mack is riddled with the injuries and everything else like that, and I don't know how he's going to come back with this one-year deal. You know how it is with guys. You know what I'm saying? They got a one-year deal, then they want to get traded out. So Marlon Mack might be trying to ball out as much as possible, but you got Nyheim Hines over there too. I'm not too worried about no Jordan Wilkins, but I've seen Nyheim Hines really just ball out over there too as well. I just think those two with Taylor and then motherfucking, you know, Nyheim Hines being back there, the Colts will be straight. But just get that guy. But we had the same problem over here when Nagy wasn't giving Monty the ball enough, I feel. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead and give Taylor the ball, and he already showed you what he could do. You got one of the best O-lines in the NFL. Go ahead and use him for what he's used for.
I only got one thing about those Marlon Mack guys that say, you know, now there's going to be more touches this way or that way. Man, first of all, we don't know what's going to be of Marlon Mack coming off of an Achilles injury. We're talking about an Achilles injury, which is a very
– He might not be the same.
He will, man, and I'm going to be the first one to stamp it. He will not be the same. He will not be the same. And that affects just him. It doesn't affect Jonathan Taylor. It doesn't affect Nyheim Hines, because Marlon Mack was never even a PPR pass catching back. He never did that. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, I think after this season, Marlon Mack will depart. And like you said, Brody, smoking, fornicator, all the verbs, you know what I'm saying, all the isms, you know, it's going to happen that way. Marlon Mack is not a threat to any of these guys' potential in fantasy, especially not in Dynasty.
Yeah, man. I'm with you on that, man. We're going to move on to number three, man. We got Chef Cook, man, Dalvin Cook, who I had as my number one in my rankings.
I like it.
And I don't see nobody, you know, really disagreeing with that anyway, though. You know, what I want to bring up first is what's really running out in the NFL is a true workhorse running back. And that's what Minnesota has in Dalvin Cook. We already know that the guy's a monster. 337.8 fantasy points, 2020. You know, finished RB2, 17 touchdowns, 1,557 yards. Bro, he's 25 years old. He's still young. So dynasty-wise, he's still relevant. Everything else, I even tried to trade to go get him, but the guy, you know, shout out to Red Dingo over there, wouldn't give him up, know that he was going to kill. You know what I'm saying? I tried to give him something good. He wasn't going. Hey, whatever it is. But the thing is that workload over there in Minnesota, it is what it is. And, you know, honestly, I'm looking at Minnesota's team, not bad all around at all. Not at all. Their offense is good. Their defense is going to be good. And I know saying that about another NFC North team is fucking hard for me to say. But when, you know, but when it comes to Dalvin Cook, we're looking at his rush attempts last year, 312. Huge. And he had 44 pass attempts. That same offense is going to be there. I know we got everything else, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, you know what I'm saying? We still got Kirk Cousins at the helm. Dalvin Cook is still going to get that same amount of workload that it is, bro. And he put up those numbers and did everything, and he only played 14 games last year. So he was injured for a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But that comes with the wear and tear of probably having the workload that he has. But at the end of the day, though, too, I mean, you got Alexander Mattison over there. They're both got still, what, I think they got lengthy contracts. I think he just got re-signed. He's worth every penny that the Vikings drafted him for, bro. There's not too much that you can say about Dalvin Cook, but that he's a fucking stud. Pretty much. He's up there. He's up there with CMC. He's up there with the big dogs. He's always going to be in the top five. And I'm definitely looking at him. If you're in your dynasty startup leagues and everything else like that, and you know how it is with running back scarcity, no matter what format you're playing fantasy football in, you're trying to get those running backs out there, unless you're playing super flex leagues where you need those QBs probably like right off the bat. But, you know, as far as running backs goes, and fantasy purposes, Dalvin Cook is what we call a last of a dying breed in the NFL right now, where a lot of people are going running back by committee, and he's still one of those lasting workhorses over there in Minnesota. So, how y'all feel about him?
I love Dalvin Cook, man. I love Dalvin Cook. I've been before he had that 1 year where he really broke out. You know, I called that whole Gary Kubiak run zone scheme, how that was going to impact him. And yeah, that whole offense looks great. Cook leading the charge, one of my favorite running backs in the game. He just does it all, and he's a monster. He's a beast. I know a lot of people get upset at him because he gets injured, you know, or misses games, like kind of like when you need him the most in the past couple of years when it comes to fantasy, you know, playoffs and shit like that. But, you know, one thing that I said a couple years ago when a lot of people were pissed off that they couldn't play him in a semifinal or championship, might have even been both. But, you know, I'll take you take a player in the first round. You would take a player, even though, you know, he might not be there for your championship game. But if he gets you there, I'm going to take him every time, every single time. And I'll just trust in myself to be able to adjust or reach out to one of my bros right here and give me some advice to plug in whoever to, you know, get that push for that ship. So, yeah, Dalvin Cook, one of my favorite running backs in the game. I got no argument. They want to run. They're in a dome. Their defense, it's all right. It's not too bad. And the team is in playoff contention. So, I like it. I fuck with it.
I love me some Dalvin Cook, man. The footwork, the mentality to just run your ass over. The whole, you know, just the whole vibe of Dalvin Cook, since he came in, he looked like he got shot out of a cannon. And that was my favorite thing about Dalvin Cook, and it continues to be my favorite thing about him. Besides the injuries, I haven't had a chance to roster him many times in the past, but I mean, if I can get my hands on him, let me go ahead and take some Dalvin Cook, bro. I mean, the dude is, you know, he's one of those guys when you can compare him to CMC. The only difference is that he does have a Justin Jefferson and a Adam Thielen over there that, you know, those guys, I mean, you know, those guys will snatch a little bit away from him fantasy wise, but I don't mind him. I would love to have him on my team. So yeah, I'm all about the Dalvin Cook flow, bro. I love it. I'm gonna slide right into my number four, right, Brody? That's where we're at.
Yes, sir.
Slide right into number four with Alvin Kamara, man. And this is a dude that, you know, a lot of people are gonna hit on him, starting with Brody. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna say the Drew Brees is gone, man. That's an absolute fact. I don't think there's been a quarterback since like 2005 or somewhere around that area, you know, according to Fantasy Pros, that has thrown more to the running back since that time. And Kamara was a big beneficiary of that. If you look at Kamara's stats up and down the line, he is a PPR guy. He was averaging over 80 receptions a season. That will not happen again. It's not going to happen. Not Taysom Hill, not Jameis Winston. You're going to take a dip on those things. But the fact that he can still average, I don't know, 60 to 65 receptions a season as a running back and giving you 900 rushing yards as a running back, I mean, we're looking at close to 1,800 to 2,000 yards from scrimmage, period. I mean, this is one of those guys that you can't really knock him off that horse. I think that even if you lose 15 to 20, maybe 25 receptions a season, you're still going to have an RB1 top five. And that's why Kamara is there. I do worry about the fact that Drew Brees is gone, but not to that extent. I'm fine with Kamara. He's a safe play for me. I don't think Latavius Murray has been the guy to steal anything from him. He's been there for about three seasons now, so I don't worry about him. He's a handcuff. He's a great handcuff, but he's not a threat to Kamara's fantasy, you know, impact. He's not. He's just not. He never has been, and he never will be. So that's where I'm at with Kamara. I think that, you know, he's just a dog. Finished number one last year in PPR, number nine in 2019, number four in 2018. You want to go back to 2017, you finished number three. We could go back. It's just a lot of smoke from Kamara. He is a dog. We've seen him play. We've seen him ball. He's a wide receiver slash running back with a bull mindset that he wants to score, knows for the end zone. There's a lot of good things that come out of rostering a Kamara guy. I am not off of him. He falls a little bit lower for me this year because Drew Brees is gone. We got to take into consideration if you want to go point by point, we get really literal on this fucking show. So, you know, that's where I'm at. Kamara is a dog. I, you know, he's fine. I'm good with him. This is a great spot for him.
Yeah, man. I tried to think about what could possibly be different. Obviously, the Drew Brees situation over there and him being gone. Shout out to Drew Brees, bro. We thank you for your time in the NFL for sure, bro. He definitely has some great, great moments. But I tried to think which quarterback does Kamara benefit off with the most. And all I keep thinking about is Taysom Hill taking off with the damn ball and all the other good shit and taking that kind of shit from him. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I like him better with Jameis over there, you know what I'm saying, at the helm. We don't know who's going to start. We don't know any of that yet. I haven't read any news. I don't know if you guys heard anything else about it to see who's going to start on that end. But I think if they give Jameis the spot, you know what I'm saying, and everything else like that, though, too, that we could continue to see. I mean, no matter what, you're going to continue to see the production out of Kamara anyway. But, you know what I'm saying, I say his chances are better to get more fantasy points with Jameis Winston starting at quarterback just for the simple fact that Taysom can take off. And that guy's a stud, period. You see them all over the field. I could quarterback. I could catch the ball. I could be a wide receiver, a quarterback, a running back. He could do it all over there. So I'd rather just have, you know, Jameis Winston throwing the ball. Hopefully, you know, not as many interceptions as it is, you know, in his history that he's played. But, you know what I mean? Giving Kamara the rock and letting him run it down, because Kamara makes it look easy. We've seen him. Like, he's just bumping into defenders. Defenders don't even wrap him up, which is insane. I forgot that game where I don't remember who they were playing against, but it was some weak-ass tackling. He just ran right into Kamara. But he does a lot of those balancing workouts and shit like that. I see him all the time, man. But he's a stud, man. Alvin Kamara, yeah, he fell a little lower for me this year too, just based off of the QB shit, just like you said, their sweetness, bro. But at the end of the day, we all know that Alvin Kamara's a dog. Still trying to trade for him too. Shout out, Renegade.
Oh, shit,
there you go.
Man.
Go and get your boy.
Kamara, I was me and you, Brody, we have him the lowest out of all of us. You have him at 8. I have him at 9 for our respective dynasty rankings. My thing with Kamara, I think he's going to have a good season. I just don't like the fact we don't know what quarterback is going to be the starter. But I have a lot of questions about this team, though. I feel like they're going to use both quarterbacks, kind of like how it happened with Breeze. But I think it's going to be on a game flow basis. There's going to be some games where the New Orleans Saints, they're going to have to air it out some more. Jameis is going to play more. There's going to be other games where they need to settle it down, run some clock, and that's where Taysom Hill's going to play more. So I feel like moving forward, if this is the 1-2 punch that the Saints want to do at the quarterback position, I feel like that's going to affect Kamara being steady. It's going to affect him, you know, in the red zone, even on a dump-off passes. Like Brody just said, there's going to be some plays where Taysom Hill, what's he going to do? Dump it off to Kamara, you know, for 2 yards, or is he going to take off running? He's probably going to take off running because that's what he likes to do. So there's a lot of questions for me. Kamara is still one of the better elite running backs in the game. I'm not tripping off that. But for dynasty purposes, I'm trying to shop him around if I have him on my team. I think you could still get some nice picks for him, or players for him, I should say. But if anything, if I have Kamara, I'm holding him. I'm holding him until he balls out that first week or that second week, and then I'm trying to shop him around because this team, I just don't know what it's going to be yet. I can't confidently tell you how they're going to look. But Kamara is still going to be a surefire top 10 play every week, for sure for me. Top 5 even, but closer to 10 for me. That's where I'm at with Kamara.
I got you. I just, you know, the thing with Taysom Hill, before I dive into the number 5 guy, I just really feel like, man, I don't think that they're going to have the luxury of doing things that they want to do as opposed to doing things that they have to do. Because with Breeze, it was more of a choice, more of an option. Now it's going to be more of a, this is what we have to do at this point in the game. You know what I'm saying? Drew Brees gave you an opening. He has an arm. He's got the accuracy. He could do this. He could do that. Now, nowadays in New Orleans, that's not the talk anymore. That's not the case. So Kamara is the guy next up. The guy closest to center is always the guy who's going to get the most points. We see it with the quarterback. We see it with the running back and the wide receivers. You know, they're next up in line, but so yeah, what do we got next in line, brother? We got Saquon.
Yeah, you're up on Saquon.
Damn, I was hoping it was my other guy, Derrick Henry. But all right, we'll go. Yeah, because you know what? I think we made these pre-Julio trade.
I think so too.
I think we made these pre-Julio trade, which is absolutely fine. I have no problem talking about Saquon. We know who the fuck he is. Now, Saquon is a guy that I've been rocking with for a very long time. Shout out Penn State, Nittany Lions shit. You know, in the 3 seasons he's played, he's over 1,000 yards rushing. He got injured last year. He tore his ACL at Soldier Field. You know, blessings, bro. Get better. But it happened early in the season. I'm pretty sure it was week 2. Yeah. He should be able to bounce back. This guy is a monster. He's a machine. I wouldn't expect, you know, the 70 receptions that he averaged in his last couple seasons that he played full slates. But at the same time, they have had a lot of weapons in New York to give more, you know, openings for Saquon. So I'm good with him. I think that Saquon is one of those guys where you look at him, he's on a shitty team. Well, I wouldn't say shitty because their defense is.
I would say kinda, shitty team.
I think their defense is not. Go, hey, Brody. I like your version better. I think their defense is okay. I think they're trying to do something over there. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen them. You know, I'm not listening to people out here talking about the Giants defense as, you know, A1. So they're not. And I'm completely in agreement with you. So Saquon is a different kind of monster, and that's why I have him here. I think that Saquon with Kenny G coming over and, you know, Garrett, the fucking OC over there trying to run the double tight end set and shit like that. I think Saquon gets the biggest bulk of all the volume here. I mean, you're looking at the stars on your team or your athletes and everything in that matter. Saquon's got to be your guy. And if he's not, then you're doing something wrong. But, yeah, just, you know, maybe anywhere from 50-plus targets, 60-plus receptions. I think Saquon's going to be a great play if he can stay healthy. I don't know if that's going to last, but I'm really good with Saquon as long as he stays healthy. I really don't have a problem with him.
I think you talk about dynasty rankings and Saquon coming in at 5 for us. I was way off from where you all of you guys had him in your top 5. Renegade had him at number 2. I had him at 11. And the truth of the matter is I don't feel comfortable having a running back that completely tore his ACL. Not just that, when they went to go, you know, do the surgery, they realized he also tore his MCL and his meniscus. So it wasn't just one surgery that this guy had. Like, he had, like, they had to repair a lot of things over there. The Giants, they're already coming out. They already said that they're going to have to monitor his carries. He's not going to be given a full workload right off top. They want to see what he could handle. Saquon Barkley is a running back that in Dynasty, I don't want to have. I want no parts of him. If you guys can trade him for a nice haul, do it now. That's my recommendation, simply because I don't like the risk. Now, there could be Saquon rosters that have him and they're scared. They're worried about him. That means you could buy him for the low. So if you are a Saquon believer, go ahead and attack that, you know, that roster that has Barkley and, you know, kind of wants to get rid of him. But me, myself, I'm fading him in Dynasty and redraft. I don't mind taking some shots at him here and there. But, yeah, Saquon for me, I'm worried about it. A lot of surgeries, cleaning up that they had to do with his knee, that concerns me a lot, man.
Yeah, Brody. I guess it's been a 50-50 deal for me. When you think about Saquon, you think about the name, you think about what he could bring to the game, and you know what I'm saying? We all know that he's a stud when he's healthy. You know what I'm saying? We know that he's putting up the fantasy points that he is. So the thing is that, are you a fantasy owner that's willing to take a chance? You know what I'm saying? Willing to take that chance. Like I said, that's a big thing that the Giants came out and said that they want to monitor his carries. But at the same time, if he looks healthy, he looks like he's moving, he looks like he's cutting, he looks like he's doing what he's got to do, then the fantasy owners that are holding on to him or in the dynasty startup leagues that drafted him, they're winning. You know what I'm saying? If they're monitoring his carry, he looks a little different than what he did before. You know what I'm saying? Then you're losing. But I'm with you on this time right now, too. I would use his name as a big trading piece right now. I say, hey, look, I got Saquon. Let me go ahead and try to trade to get me maybe some 2 RB2s or another RB1, get you some depth at the position or whatever it is. I had him up there too. Like I said, I'm on the wall 50-50 because we all know that he can snap. We all know that he can snap, you know, so we all know that he could do what he got to do. But that injury concerns me as well. But and then not only that, just the Giants added a lot of pieces to that offense, man. Kadarius Toney, Kenny Golladay, we still got Darius Slayton over there, we still got Evan Ingram, we got shit going. I mean, he's the running back, but if they're going to be, I don't even know who the hell is the backup over there. Who is it? What we joked about it? They said it was
I think it's Brandon Jacobs, I think. they pulled him out of the buffet, and he's going to be playing, you know, wearing a good old 27 again.
I heard Eddie Lacy's looking for a job.
right behind 26.
But yeah, what's interesting about that, bro? I'm just like, man, you know, where does it fit in? Like, I love Saquon, you know what I'm saying? And man, I hate to see any athlete go through any type of injury like that. But and there was a lot of them last year, you know, Odell, everybody else, you know what I'm saying, that went through, you know, that type of injury. And I my blessings go to him, you know what I'm saying? And I hope that he could perform. But we're talking about fantasy here, you know what I'm saying? It's 50-50. Like, right now, you either keep him and you can win, or you could trade him. And so, honestly, I think that it's probably better to trade him if he's on your roster right now in Dynasty Leagues and go ahead and get you something worth that and bank off his name. I'm not mad if he snaps and he's no longer on my team. I'm not mad at that neither, you know what I'm saying? But we can move on off of Quads, bro. Good luck to you and the Giants, bro. But number six, I'm so happy to talk about the guy. You know what? He's on my Dynasty team. Shout out Bo Jeezy that sent me the 111th trade that he's offered, that he sent me to try to get Nick Chubb. You know, texting me almost every day, you ready to get rid of Chubb? And let me tell you the reason I'm not. And I will not. We got a guy that put up 207.7 fantasy points last year and played less than 14 games. Less than 14 games. Finished RB11, 12 touchdowns, 1,065 yards. It's the last of, like, I would say, like, a pure runner. Bro, his percentage after breaking tackles and everything else like that is way up there. And a lot of stats that you look for in a running back, Nick Chubb has. Man, bro, I think what is that? Pro, I don't even, it's like PFF or something like that.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus. Pro
Football Focus got fucking Cleveland's O-line ranked at number one. They're all coming back this year. So he gets the same O-line. You get a Baker Mayfield back that motherfucking did his thing. You know what I'm saying? And it's coming back and doing that shit. But here's what's interesting, bro. He's the only top 15 running back that played less than 14 games. Made it in top 15, played less than 14 games. Only top 15 running back over 1,000 yards that played less than 14 games. You get him for a full season. And this is not only saying that he has Kareem Hunt behind him, who's also a stud. If you could put up those type of numbers with that guy that's backing you up, playing less than 14, I know we got a 17-game season this year, but he is where you what you want, bro. And I you know what, thinking about it now and looking at that, I don't know how we probably can have him look higher. If somebody had him at 5, I'm not mad. You know what I'm saying? If he could play a full season and be at that pace, like we just got done talking about Dalvin Cook.
I got Chubb at 3. I'm just saying.
Lessons to you. You know what I'm saying, man? That's what's up, bro. Like, but those are interesting stats. To have Dalvin Cook at 1,557, I know he only played 14 games. But you had fucking Nick Chubb, who missed out on 4 games and had a bye week, with 1,065 yards. He wasn't that far behind Dalvin Cook at all. And, bro, like, if he could stay healthy this whole entire season – I'm so glad I got him on my roster. Oh, my God. I'm not giving him up. You're going to have to give me the shit in order to motherfucker for Nick Chubb to get to
Would you? I got a question for you, because I think this is a real relative question that a lot of people could relate to. Would you trade Saquon to get Chubb straight up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, like, I'm glad that you brought it up. Based off of what we just talked about right now, if you can pull that trade off without any caveats on the top or anything else like that, man, somebody who doesn't know what Nick Chubb's worth is, you know what I'm saying? Somebody who doesn't listen to the Bears, Bruce, and the Bros, you know what I'm saying? And he's the Nick Chubb roster, and you're the Saquon guy, and you go ahead and go get you a Nick Chubb. You're talking about a guy who's 25 years old. I know he got injured last year, too. He got banged up, but when he came back, he looked like he never was injured in the first place. That's what it was. And it looked like it. He looked like he got his rest and he was good to go. We're talking about Stefanski and a run-first offense here, yep, bro. And it's worked out for Cleveland. I got Cleveland this year as a Super Bowl contender. And if you
I like
don't,
it.
I don't know what the hell is going on with you. But those are interesting stats for this guy to be a top 15 running back and play less than 14 games. That is huge. That is huge. Dynasty startup, I'm going to go try to go get him. Redrafts this year, I'm going to go try to go get him completely, bro. Like, Nick Chubb is a stud. He's a stud. But, yeah, hell yeah. If I was if I had Saquon Barkley, and I'd trade that straight up. And like I said, if Saquon Barkley ends up snapping and playing all 17 games this year, this season, I'm not mad because I expect Nick Chubb to finish better than him. I know probably in the rankings that we probably don't have it like that and everything else, but now he's there. He's there. How y'all feeling about him?
No, yeah. I mean, we already really quickly, I brought up Saquon versus Chubb. I got Saquon 11th. I got Chubb 3rd. There's no question for me who I think is Saquon's there's so much risk with him. With Chubb, he's attached to such a great O-line, like you said, number one in the game. He's attached to a great offensive coach, just a great scheme that he got off of Gary Kubiak. You know, he was under his, you know, his tutelage, if you will, and learned a lot over there in Minnesota. Brought that run zone scheme in Cleveland, and we see what's going on. You got two running backs that finished top 10 in PPR last year. And, you know, that's under that whole scheme. Chubb being healthy the whole year, the sky's the limit. I love it. It doesn't matter if it's a beautiful day out or it's the shitty weather. You know what the game script's going to be. Smash my football. You got to love it. I love me some Chubb. Let's go, baby. What you got on Chubby, bro?
Man.
Pause. Pause.
I got everything on Chubby. You want to talk about it. No, man. But, yeah, Nick Chubb, like you said, the system, the placement, the offensive line, the fact that they're trying to utilize the fuck out of their running backs to their fullest extent. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better situation. You really couldn't. Nick Chubb, to me, is literally, you know, he's top five. He's top five. They did it last year. Like you said, Brody, two running backs in the top five. It's unheard of nowadays.
Top 10.
No, top 10, but I'm two RB1s. In the top, you know, two RB1s is the thing. You know, we're talking about, 12-team, leagues and stuff like that. That's when you get your share of a great coach and a great system with an offensive line that's A1, you're in for a great time. Nick Chubb, for me, is one of those no doubters, no questions asked, safe plays. As opposed to Saquon, yeah, we should definitely swap, you know what I'm saying? We should change the narrative on those two because I think a lot of people are going off the name, but we should do the, you know, another, we should do like a poll, Chubb or Saquon. And
we literally, you had just stepped out, Brody, not to cut you off, but you stepped out for a little bit and I asked Drill, would you, if you have Saquon right now, would you trade for Nick Chubb straight up in Dynasty?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. Real quick.
There you go. You guys heard it.
Real quick. You heard it here first, man. Bears, Brews, and the Bros. Make those damn trades. Make those trades. Look at the fucking facts, man. Stop Let's fucking go. Playing.
We're winning, bro.
Look at the fucking facts. Hey, Brody, who's up next, man? Who we got on the list, bro?
We're going to jump into number 7, man. We're going to talk about my man, Ezekiel Elliott, bro. Big thing. Okay. What we're going to do is look at his whole situation last year and what you do, like what we call that, a mulligan in golf, or we call a redo in real life. Bro, you can scratch that season from last year, bro. Honestly, you had that hurt. You had that entire O-line hurt. His performance and everything obviously went down after Dak went down. And what was that, like a week 5? What was the week? It was early. It was a little early in the season. And then his fantasy production went down. Now we got Dak back. Hopefully that O-line can stay healthy. Hopefully, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Did you mean to do that, Brody? That we got Dak back, that little Dr. Seuss shit you just doing there?
I mean, you can't help it that his name is Dak. Dak Prescott, Dak back is there, bro. We rhyming in here. You know, we used to freestyle back in the day. Some yes, people sir. Hated us for it, but, you know, we was doing our own thing. Fuck them. But Zeke this year, bro, like I said, he had 223.7 fantasy points last year. 8 touchdowns, 979 yards. Yeah, his production went down, bro, but you got to look at the whole Dallas's whole situation over there. And not only that, their fucking defense sucked last year, and they know it. And fuck it, you know what I'm saying? You can't – I don't care if any Dallas Cowboys fans want to come at me, come at me. I don't care. Your fucking defense fucking sucked last year. You can talk about fucking, oh, well, the Bears offense sucked. Yeah, I'm not going to fucking deny it. We fucking sucked last year. Take the L where it's at. You know what I'm saying? But fucking this year, oh, what's crazy, if you're starting these dynasty startup leagues, man, Zeke's shit has fallen. He's fallen in the rankings, which I think where he's at, he's not supposed to be really, though, too.
Take advantage.
Take advantage of that. And a lot of people are sleeping on, oh, Zeke sucked last year. Not looking at everything that played a factor in him sucking last year. You go and pick him up in a, what, he's going eighth, ninth? What, like first round, eighth, ninth? He fell to that.
That's crazy.
If you get him there, or if you get him in the beginning of the second round, that is a fucking
steal. Oh, my God, yeah.
That is a fucking steal. Do I think that he'll be there in the second round? Absolutely fucking not, due to running back scarcity. And if you're playing with any real fucking fantasy players, you know what I'm saying? That won't happen.
Absolutely. Good call.
At the eighth and ninth spot, that's still a steal for me. That's still a steal for me. Zeke is still 25. He's played a lot, you know what I'm saying? But he can handle the volume that he's got. But he's got to have that offensive line and everything back with him. A running back just can't fucking do every fucking thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he fell off last year. This is a return. If you follow him on Instagram, this boy's been working hard. Dak Prescott said he's in the best shape of his life. Best shape of his life. You know, he was like, damn, that wasn't me last year. It wasn't all his fault, though. But for him to take that and take a hit on him, I believe he's got a chip on his shoulder. I believe, like, man, you know, I played shit. I let my team down last year. You know, on God, I'm finna change that shit this year. So if you could go get you some Zeke, and especially at an eighth and ninth, and especially in redrafts, if motherfuckers is passing up on them, bro, that's feed me.
Man, you know what? The thing about fucking Zeke, he has to have a chip on his shoulder right now. This dude is a champion. He is a beast. He's a warrior. I know he had a horrible season last year and still caught 50 balls. And he still went crazy. Yeah, he had fumbles left and right. But the thing is about Zeke, I think I looked at some shit. It said since 2015, there's only been one player that finishes in the top 10 every season, and it was fucking Zeke. So, I mean, I can't take none from him. He does it all. He's one of those all-around guys. He's a Dalvin Cook. He is a Christian McCaffrey. He's a PPR monster, and he will do it on the ground too. This guy is all around. You got Dak Prescott there. You have CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Amari Cooper. One of the best offensive lines in the game, and they preach that. This is the way to go. Zeke is going to have a huge bounce back season. He's going to get the comeback player of the season award. He's going to get the comeback player award if they don't give it to a petty injury guy. You know what I'm saying? That's a pity injury. Not petty.
Petty.
Pity. Not petty. Pity. My bad. They're going to do it out of pity. They're not going to do it out of
pity. Petty, petty, petty,
petty. Yeah, petty, petty, petty. Whatever they want to say, Rody. But, you know, at the end of the day, Zeke is a fucking man. He is a running back that needs to be talked about. If we're talking about full throttle, top three. Shit for real.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to, like Drill just said, where he's falling in drafts is just disrespectful. Like, you gotta just keep that in mind. The team was injury riddled. I mean, your quarterback is out. You know, they put all the pressure on Zeke. He couldn't perform. I don't blame him. Now, you're in a dynasty league. Go after Zeke. Try to make trades for him, because there's a lot of people that are down on him. So if the current Zeke roster, you know, doesn't believe in Zeke all the way, flow some trades his way, see what you could get. I got another question for y'all. Saquon or Zeke? Who you taking? Oh, I can't hear you.
I'm going to go first.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go off of, you know, every time we do these shows, and it's appreciated because a lot of people don't know, you know, situations have made the bros have distance, you know, so we don't always get the connect that we want or that we need or whatever, you know, it might be. But the more I talk to you guys and the more it goes, you know, it makes me really look at and assess the situation at hand. I think at this point, looking at the situation as a whole, Dynasty included, I think Zeke for me. So I'm gonna go Ezekiel Elliott right now.
Based on everything else, Daniel Jones, like I said, I mean, the Giants over there, they got, I guess they got to connect with whatever it is that's going on. We got Dak Prescott, who knows Michael Gallup's routes, who knows how CeeDee Lamb gets down, who knows how Amari Cooper gets down. If they can go out there and run up points on them, it's going to be a Zeke day. It's going to be a Zeke day. So, like I said, if that's another trade that's possible of getting off, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that we're showing some pity. We're showing some pity towards a little bit. But at the same time, we got to be real here. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing against the players. We're trying to win fantasy championships.
Right.
Like real athletes trying to win Super Bowls.
And you got to take advantage off of current narratives. Like we were just saying, people are down on Zeke. That's okay. Take advantage. Whether you get him late in drafts or you trade for him in Dynasty, get it done. Because right now people are down on him, and it shows in the ADPs too. So
it shows all up in the ADPs, bro. And I don't understand the extensiveness of it. But one thing I do want to bring up is, like, the dude was fumbling left and right last year. And you know what those things are? They're made by, you know, mental.
Yeah.
Fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, you literally mentally fucking yourself. And I don't think that Zeke is that guy. I think he's gonna bounce back in the best way. I mean, those fumbles mean nothing to me. I mean, they're a scratch. Unless you lost a game by fucking 2 or 3 points last year, fantasy wise, then you'd be holding it against him.
Yeah,
but that's not usually the case. You know what I'm saying? So we gotta get over those kind of things and assess the guy as who he really is. And if you go and look at his history and his age right now for Dynasty and what he's going to be, yeah, with a, you know, with a supporting cast that he has, we need to put him where he's at. He's a high up workload horse guy. You know, he does everything.
Think we good?
Where we going next, Brody?
We got it's your goal with the king. Yep.
The king, man. We talking Derrick Henry, man. And this is one of those things, man. Me and Brody were off a little bit last year. No, I don't think it was me and you. Maybe it might have been, but
yeah, it was me.
It was the whole PPR motion of the flow and how I didn't believe that a guy that's not PPR relevant could do things like that. But then again, I didn't think that he was gonna carry the ball 370, 380 times. Almost, you know, touching 400 carries as a running back is really nasty. And if you could sit here and tell me who's backing Derrick Henry up, really, really, I would still probably shit on you. I would tell you that guy is irrelevant. I would tell you that Julio just got brought into the equation. I'm talking about Julio Jones, and that it's going to open things up more than they were already open. So now that you don't have the option to stack people in my box, I am going to exploit you more than I already have. This is Derrick Henry shit. So, you know, the king, like I said, I don't expect him to finish any less than top four rushing wise. I have high expectations for Derrick Henry this year. This guy's improved every single season of his career rushing wise. I'm talking about rushing yards, rushing attempts, rushing touchdowns. He's exceeded everything every single year after the fact. He's gone plus, 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 plus. I don't expect him to fall with Julio as an addition to their team. I expect him to keep climbing. That's where I'm at. I don't think that anybody could touch this guy. You put a fucking 6'5", 6'6", monster opposite of A.J. Brown to Julio Jones. I mean, the sky's the limit for Derrick Henry. He had an amazing year last season. Finished second or third in PPR. Finished first in standard. I I really have no knock on him. If anything, I am plussing him. I think he might do better this year. So I'm there. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm going to land. If you guys, anybody, you know, Brody's, you guys included, or anybody that gets the, you know, luxury of playing against me in fantasy, don't not pick Derrick Henry, because I will grab him. I will take him. That is my guy. Worth the mother.
Derrick Henry is a beast. Over 2,000 rushing yards last year. 17 rushing touchdowns. I'm one of those guys that likes a running back that could do it all. You know, I love that that running backs that could catch out of the backfield. You know, all game scripts is favorable to that running back. Derrick Henry is the exception. He's the one guy that he's literally changed my mind, as in, I don't care that he's not involved in the passing game. Who cares? This guy gets 20-plus touches per game regardless. He gets all the goal line carries regardless. Now Julio Jones is there. It's going to open up, you know, those rushing lanes, because the defense can't stack the box no more, because you got A.J. Brown on one side and Julio on the other.
Brody.
Derrick Henry almost, is one of the – go ahead.
Almost 380-something attempts.
Yeah.
All the goal line touches. Go ahead. Go crazy.
Yeah, man. I mean, to add to that, he had 397 touches, including the receptions he had. So damn near 400. So it doesn't even matter. You know, at the end of the day, Derrick Henry, he is as safe as a play there is. The only thing I got to say when it comes to dynasty, I'm the type of manager that likes to trade his players at their highest peaks. And I will say that right now, Derrick Henry is at his highest peak. If you are a championship contending team, hold on to him. But if you're one of these teams that you still know that you're a couple years away, I'm trading him right now. And I'm stacking my team and I'm getting draft picks. I'm getting some young players, whatever. If you feel like you're one running back away to win your league, this is the guy to target. This guy right here, because it's undeniable his workload, everything he's going to do for this offense and the improvements they've made. Vrabel came out, the coach, and said he is not concerned about his workload at all. So there you go. As sure as a pick as there could be, Derrick Henry.
Going along with you guys, bro, there's not too much that you can say about the King, bro. The guy's a monster. His work ethic and everything else that goes into him as a player in general, he's just an overall monster. Does the game plan change because a little bit over there because Julio Jones is there? I really don't think so. I think it's better. Just like you said, the defense is going to have to play a little bit even more honest right now. They were trying to stack him. He was still getting those yards. Now that you got Julio Jones on one side, A.J. Brown on the other side, you know what I'm saying? The defense is going to, like you said, it's gonna open up those running lanes. It's probably going to eat even more. So the thing is, like you said, you want to be smart, though. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, though, too, I agree with selling people at the peak, you know what I'm saying, and everything. That outlook, if you're not looking at it like that and you want to hold on to him, then and do what you do. You know what I'm saying? But you know that he's going to eat either way. There's nothing too much the more that I can say.
Me and Drill, we had a conversation the other day, and it was according to Dynasty and how you hold people to how much time they have left, whether they're at their pinnacle of their career or not. But mostly when they are at their pinnacle of the career, what do we say? I mean, in my occasion, I told Drill, I said, bro, if this guy could give me 2 great years out of him, and I know he has 2 years left in the tank, for sure, and I'm surefire and injuries barred, I will keep him. 2 years is my max. 3 years, I'm pushing it, especially with a guy his age. Running backs, you know, their age is not the same as a wide receiver or anyone else, actually, because they take the most hits. But at the end of the day, where I hold my bar is 2 years. Can you give me a great career for 2 years as a dynasty rosterer? Can I get 2 solid years from you at your pinnacle? I will keep you. If not, you know, like Smoke and Jay said, like Forney said, we will probably, you know, get rid of you. We'll go look for something else because we're looking towards the future here. Dynasty shit. But You know, my bar is at 2 years, bro. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be 2 years. I mean, dynasty leagues, like, I don't know how many even last past 2 or 3 years. Honestly, you got to get a committed group of fellas to, you know, and ladies to hold it down. And, you know, I joined the dynasty league last year and it's already disbanded. So, you know, this type of shit happens. You know, you want to, I think a 2 year window for each player is really safe. You want to be in contention, you know, every year, of course. But if you're going to rebuild, it's got to be a quick one. So that's why I was mentioning with this Derrick Henry thing. If you have Derrick Henry and nobody else on your team, ship him out and get what you can because you know you're going nowhere.
Yes, sir.
With all that, we good with the King. Good luck to the Titans this year. Good addition on Julio Jones. We're going to snap into number 9 with Cam Akers, man. Look, not even going to dive into his stats because it wasn't shit in the beginning of the season until he got the keys later on in the season. Bro, he started to snap off, show light, and everything else like that. And then this offseason, Sean McVay has come out and says that he could be an every down back. We got Malcolm Brown that went to Miami. He's out the door. We got a new offense with the Rams with Matthew Stafford at the helm. This is Cam Akers' backfield. I haven't heard McVay or I haven't heard any news about Darrell Henderson even being – somewhat relevant, you know, in that game. I'm sure he's going to be the change of pace back and everything else that goes on over there. But this is now is Cam Akers' backfield. And since he was able to get the keys last year and he was snapping this year, now he's got the whole year. So let's just keep it simple and plain and motherfucker sit up in here and say, hey, based off of volume, sure way that this offense could get down. One of the best defenses in the NFL. They should be a sure shot. Cam Akers should be a sure shot to be in there to get that volume and get that play. Super young. Dynasty startup leagues. Super young guy. What is he, like 22? I think he's like 22 years old.
He is exactly 22.
He's definitely got a shit ton left in the tank. Now, a lot of us are worried about the 17-game season when it comes to these running back positions. But when we got a young guy like that and we got the head coach saying that, hey, he could be an every down back, all we got to do is sit up in here and pay attention to what's going on in training camp, seeing if they pick up somebody else, how that affects anything else. But right now, present day, with Sean McVay coming out saying that, hey, he's pretty much going to get the keys. Here you go. This is your running back room. Follow it, bro. I'm picking me up some Cam Akers, and this is the reason why we got him at a consensus number 9 right here. Some people are not fucking with Cam Akers, and a lot of people are. But I'm one of those that's definitely fucking with him. So, you know, I'm looking for him in redrafts. I'm looking for him in Dynasty. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure, quite sure where his ADP is at. If anybody can help me out with that. I don't know where he's falling to or what draft position he's really, averaging. But he's definitely somebody that I'm targeting.
He's around the number 16 ADP, man.
Okay. But still.
Dynasty-wise.
Yeah. So, I mean, shit. He's still hot. Like I said, he flashed last year when he got most of the touches and everything else like that. And for Sean McVay to sit up here and tell him that he could be an every down back and take control of the backfield for the Rams. And I feel like with that offense, high flying Matthew Stafford finally probably not going to have to run for his life. The game script favors Cam Akers though over there. You know what I'm saying? So, and that defense is going to be able to give that offense enough rest. You know what I'm saying? So, it's gonna be dog day over there for Cam Akers. How y'all feeling about
him? I mean, I love Cam Akers, man. I have him all the way up to 5, man. I think that Sean McVay remembers the good old days when Todd Gurley was balling the fuck out over there and was the featured option on that offense. And I think he misses that, man. I think he really does. He went and got his quarterback, Matthew Stafford, who's going to take more control of this offense. It's going to pose more of a passing threat to the defense, something that Jared Goff couldn't do. So now you're going to be able to give that running back some wiggle room, some rushing lanes. He's going to be able to use his vision because you're not going to be, you know, stacked up in that box, daring the quarterback to throw. You're not going to do that on Matthew Stafford. Never in your life. You'll do that to Jared Goff all day, not to Stafford. So Akers is going to eat for, you know, now, the near future, you know, past that too. This guy has, I would say it's safe to say man, 4 to 5 year window where he's going to be tearing up the league, especially over there, you know, on the turf. So, man, Cam Akers is one of my favorite young running backs, up and coming. I think he's arrived. And, yeah, man, watch out this year. I think Sean McVay is going to try to replicate that Todd Gurley, you know, reign that he had when they gave him that big-ass contract. So, I'm ready. I can't wait to see him ball out.
Absolutely. I'm on the same boat. I mean, I don't think he has arrived. I think people are waiting for it. And as long as we know it, then we know it. That's cool. But we're trying to, you know, we're trying to put people on. He has arrived for sure. Even before the plane landed, he's coming. Like, he is on his way. Like, you get the ticket, then this motherfucker got it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's where it's at. They got rid of, you know what I'm saying, Malcolm Brown. They got Darrell Henderson over there. Not worried about him. Hasn't flashed anything, nothing special there. No PPR motives. I mean, we've been keeping tabs on Cam Akers since Florida State. And the way he ran that ball and the way he did his thing with one of the worst offensive lines in college. But you don't have to worry about that anymore. You get a full workload in the NFL with the offensive line in the NFL, you're going to flash a lot. That's just the case. I remember coming out of Florida State, Cam Akers was a guy that they said was okay because of his offensive line. But then you look at the numbers and you ask yourself, God damn, he really did that with that? He did that with a trash offensive line? And now he's coming to the NFL, to a Super Bowl contending team, to your guys' point, with the defense that plays all day. We're talking about Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, a lot of guys back there. Yeah, Leonard Floyd. Let's not talk about him. You know, shit like that, you know?
Another guy.
But that's just what it is. Cam Akers is the truth. He will be that guy for a long time to come. Shout out to Brody. Say 5 to 6 years. I'm with it. 4 to 5, 5 to 6. I'm on that
6 to 7,
boat.
7 to 8, 8. And
just keep going. Just keep going. The guy's a dog. He's a dog. Shit. He's a dog. No serious injuries. We're not talking about none of that. Knock on wood.
All right. What you got, Drew? You good on it?
Yeah, man, I'm good on Cam Akers right there, bro.
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking at our rankings, how we have it broke it down, when it comes to Akers, you had him 9th, I had him 5th. Brody, you had him 15th, bro. Like, I think you got to move him up, man. This is Dynasty, man. I think Akers.
I know.
Akers definitely's got to be a top 10 option in Dynasty, in my opinion. Keeping it going, we're gonna talk about a rookie right now, Najee Harris. Playing for Pittsburgh under Mike Tomlin, a team that, you know, they're gonna, I think it's pretty obvious, man. It's pretty obvious what they want to do. They want to run that rock. They don't want Big Ben to throw the ball. He's not the same anymore. He's not the same quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So they want to lean on that run game. In the last 11 years, Pittsburgh Steelers running backs have averaged 432 touches per year. Najee Harris is in for a 300-plus touch season, without a doubt. The O-line is improved. The Castro and Banner missed games last year. Reportedly, they're 100% healthy and ready to go, so that O-line is going to be much improved. Najee Harris got drafted 24th, and I'm trying to, like, I was trying to compare, like, man, what's the closest thing as far as a comp I could give as far as workload goes, and I went back. I looked at what Le'Veon did his rookie year. And remember, Le'Veon was drafted 48th overall, Najee 24th. Le'Veon got 244 carries, 84 targets for 55 catches. I think this guy for sure, Najee, in this type of offense, he's going to look at 300-plus touches, like I said. He's going to be able to do some things that, you know, a rookie running back usually doesn't do, man. He's a workhorse right off top. I think he, in Dynasty right now, you know, like, we have him, what, 10th? I think he's for sure a top 10 play. I think he's going to finish within that top 10. And redraft, you know, I'm kind of high on him too. So I think Najee Harris, if you guys could get a hold of him, do it. All of us had him inside our top 12. A couple of number 7 rankings, me and Brody, you had him in your 12th. So, you know, we all see the value in him. Young, hasn't played a snap yet, but we trust in his Pittsburgh offense. So Najee Harris, I think he's primed for a big year, the start of his career. This guy could catch out of the backfield too. Do not forget, 100 targets in college, caught 80 of them. Only 3 drops in his whole career. He's a great pass catcher too. So love me some Najee Harris.
Break it down for me real quick. Where do we have him? Us three?
The three of us. So we have him 12th, 7-7. Me and you have him at 7. Drill 12. Rennie had him at 11.
Najee Harris is the motherfucking truth. Brody, you beat me to the punch with the receptions and all that. Ben Roethlisberger is not going to have a choice but to throw this kid the ball. He's not the gunslinging mentality guy no more. He's old. Juju, Deontay, and Claypool, I'm sorry. There's going to be a lot of targets that go Najee's way because he could do things with it, and he's proved it. He's been doing it for a very long time. Najee Harris is a guy that in Dynasty, we have him at number 7 for a reason. We know who he is. We know what he's going to be. He's done it before. Roll Tide shit. And a lot of those guys, they don't transition from NCAA to NFL. But this guy is like a no-brainer. You see his physique. You see what he did in college. And you go to a system that needs to run the ball with no particular threat at his position. We're talking about a workload. We're talking about 300-plus carries. We're talking about maybe anywhere from 1,500 to 1,800 all-purpose yards to anywhere from 8 to 13 touchdowns. So that's the window. And if you're talking about an RB2 like that,
that's
ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking big money shit. So I'm all over that. This kid is going to get the workload for a very long time to come. Don't care who the quarterback is because they got a Ben Roethlisberger on the back end of 45 or whatever the fuck old he is. That's just the way it goes. That's where I'm at with Najee. This kid's a dog. I'm pissed that the guy in Dynasty got him because he doesn't know what to do with him. But, Drill, how you feel about it, man?
Man, hey, I heard that they put like a robotic arm in him and they caught fucking Ben Roethlisberger cyborg now. So Najee's not gonna get shit. He's gonna be bombing that shit all over the place.
Cyborg. How we call him Cy-Ben?
I'm bullshit aside though, man. Only reason why I got him at number 12 is because you're a rookie. That's it. Just because pretty much, I want you to prove your worth for the motherfucking goddamn NFL. That's it. Even though he's stepping into the workload that he's going to get. We seen what happened with Le'Veon Bell. We seen what happened with James Conner. They ran his ass into the dirt. Yep. They're in Arizona now. Snell, McFarland, they don't got a chance. They can't even get Najee Harris out of the goddamn fucking Steelers complex from working out so fucking much.
He's ready.
I heard this shit time and time again. He is ready. And he's a funny guy. I I've seen him all over the place. On the gram, all sorts of shit, bro. I like his attitude. I like his shit. You know what I'm saying? Mike Tomlin, I'm sure that he's chomping at the bits to go ahead and motherfucking give him that role over there with the Steelers because Ben Roethlisberger is going to need that this year. He can't be airing it out all over the place. We seen what happened with the Steelers last year. It was fucking huge for them. I mean, they had like a little pity pack schedule, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that. But they were undefeated for a while. Until later on in the season, where does now you got Najee Harris coming into the picture, helping out the Steelers with that type of deal. I see fucking Ben, Big Ben, being able to snap for those first, that first stretch, maybe getting into midseason and him getting a little tired and everything else like that. And Najee Harris being the young guy that he is, taking the reins and still being able to open up that offense and keep it whatever defense is playing the Steelers honest for sure. They know that they're going to have to worry about that kid. They know that they're going to have to worry about the things that he can do. You know what I'm saying? So along with that amazing receiving core that they got over there, because as much as anybody wants to talk shit on Juju or anybody else, the Steelers wide receiver core is top tier. But now you got a kid in Najee Harris who can catch out the backfield like a motherfucker. Like you said, what, 3 drops? Was what you said? Yep.
3 drops is college career.
He's got sure hands. He's definitely. I watched his highlights. I seen him hurdle over motherfuckers and shit like that, bro. As long as he's good, he can stay healthy, he's gonna get the workload he's gonna get, bro. He's definitely gonna be in that top 12 thing, bro. So if you definitely, he's young, especially your dynasty startup leagues, man. I'm trying to think of a couple players that I take him over. There's a lot of them right now.
But I'm gonna do this the whole show. Would you trade Saquon for Najee Harris straight up?
Yes, sir.
Same here, man.
I feel like, yo, Najee Harris is like a perfect mix of the 2020 Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, because he's gonna get you 500 receiving yards and over 1,000 rushing yards, and he's gonna catch over 50 or 60 balls, and that's, I mean, Jesus Christ, there's no Nyheim Hines in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's the fucking thing about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're right.
That's the thing about it. You know what I'm saying?
How long I've been cheating.
It's crazy. It's crazy like that, bro. I love it.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll keep it going, man. We're going to talk about our number 11th running back for Dynasty, Antonio Gibson Banderas, man. I'm so happy to talk about him. I just got him in Dynasty. Shout out Bo Jeezy. I had to make that trade for my guy. A lot of questions about Antonio Gibson right now, though. And it starts with injuries. Turf toe that he suffered in, I believe it was December, kind of messed him up. He missed a couple games, came back for the playoffs, wasn't really himself all the way. And reports lately are that he's still not 100%. And, you know, he's not. But the truth of the matter is, 1 month removed from that game in December, he stopped all football activities, and they said no surgery was needed. It's going to heal on its own. And an injury like this usually takes 6 months for you to be back at 100%. Right now, we're at the 5 month mark. So it makes sense that he's not 100% right now. So if you are in Dynasty right now and somebody's rostering Gibson, and they're worried about him and his injury, I say, go ahead and strike, man. Go ahead and strike. Get you some, you know, Antonio Gibson on your team. This guy's dynamic, man. This guy's going to be a problem for years to come. Last year, he finished number 13 in PPR, missing a lot of these games. Also, playing less snap percentage than Jonathan Taylor, Chris Carson, and Melvin Gordon. You know, players like this and still being able to produce, better than some of these guys at times. 37% of the snap share is what this guy got, and he was still number 13, even and missing some games. That's crazy, man. And don't forget, he was a wide receiver in college. He was not a running back. This is his first year trying to prove that he could play that position first off, then proving that he could be a workhorse. That's just crazy to me, man. McKissick is over there, which some people can make an argument that, hey, he's going to take away from Gibson. What I say to that is he already did that to him last year, and Gibson was just getting his feet wet at that position in the NFL in a COVID type year. Now he proved a lot of doubters wrong. He could play the running back position. He could handle the workload. He's a tough dude, plays through injuries too, if he has to. And he's a receiver to top off playing the running back position. He could catch and run routes. So McKissick is in a contract year. I think at least for right now, he will play a part in Washington. But moving forward after that, Gibson's going to be a top five running back, play complete workhorse. So I love Gibson a lot. Some of his stats, you know, last year, 170 touches, 795 yards, 11 touchdowns, 36 catches, 247 yards, balled out on 96.2% of his carries last year, the highest rate of gain positive yardage out of any player. So this guy was balling out as a rookie, very elusive, strong, a lot stronger than you think, very quick too. So I'm all about Antonio Gibson. I think he's one of these guys that you can right now buy low on. So get you some Antonio Gibson coming in at 11 for us.
I think that was the best the best thing for me is buy low on him now, because the second that McKissick goes out the window is the second that Gibson goes all the way up. I'm not going to sit here and deny the fact that Gibson, you know, even though he did transition from wide receiver to a running back coming into the NFL, they did try to transition him into a running back from a wide receiver into the NFL, which means that they took a lot of stuff that he used to do and made him what they wanted him to do. So this, that's a hitter. Coming into 2021, I think that you can buy low on him, but I don't, it's just tough for me to talk about it because at the end of the day, I don't know what they're going to do with him when McKissick is gone. I think that he'll probably jump up to anywhere from, if he was at 60 targets, he'd probably jump to 70. So that would be something amazing for a guy like Antonio Gibson. Now, the turf toe. You gave me the timeline, and I'm absolutely about it. You're almost over it. We're not even in August yet. August is when shit starts to hit in football. For all of you guys that have never played football before, August is when you start to get down to the shit. July, all this shit. Now we're coming into full pads and getting smacked around. But, you know, Antonio Gibson, for me, is going to be the guy for a long time in Washington. McKissick on his last
year.
Watch
yourselves.
Watch the fuck out. You better watch the fuck out for Antonio Gibson. He'll be all right. And as long as he continues this road on to becoming that running back they want him to be, and he can venture out to still be the wide receiver that he was, man, you got a hell of a mix there, man. Because I just sit here and think about the fact that they told him scratch that shit, you know, as a wide receiver. Let me make you a running back right now. And he's still transitioning, and it's not easy. Not playing against these full-speed NFL guys. And at the same time, we got to think about it, bro. If somebody's taking you from a wide receiver to an RB, you're going to make a huge transition, but you're not going to forget your roots. So, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, it's a great sky. It's a great ceiling. It's a great place to be if you're an Antonio Gibson roster. Listen to Brody, man, all day. Your turf toe takes about 5 to 6 months. He's on his last leg on an injury right now. And he's going to be full throttle. So, I mean, that's all I needed to hear, Brody, to be honest.
Yeah, bro, the ceiling's high on this guy. Like I said, the only thing I was worried about was the motherfucking turf toe. We all know what he could do. Last year, you know what I'm saying, with Heineke, now we got Ryan Fitzpatrick over there. Fitzmagic over there at the helm. Like you said, he's got wide receiver roots. We know Ryan Fitzpatrick loves to throw that rock. Man, you know, like I said, the ceiling's just high on the guy. Obviously Brody took a chance on him, you know what I'm saying, and everything else, but based off his numbers, he's got shit to back it up. So there you go. There you go. Get you some Antonio.
Yeah, fucking man.
Bro. It's not a bad deal, bro. People are going to dig and find a reason not to fuck with Gibson and everything else like that though too. But I think he's a for sure thing, bro. And he's definitely a part of that offense, bro. And to come from college and, you know, to come from wide receivers to being a running back and be able to still put up those numbers, just the most interesting snap alone is 11 touchdowns. He's up there with the rest of those guys who got 17, 14, 12 touchdowns. Come on, you got 11. That's a lot of fucking touchdowns,
yep.
Bro. That's there. And fantasy-wise, that's what the fuck we're looking for. It could shave a shitty day. We could say that Antonio Gibson can motherfucking not get any motherfucking points at all. He can have a shitty game, but if he shits you out a touchdown, he's definitely saving you in the fantasy world, bro. You know what I'm saying? I look for that. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to fantasy players and shit like that, though, too, man. But Antonio, man, I'm with it. I'm with it out there, and I'm comfortable where you're at.
Yeah, one thing you brought up a great point with Ryan Fitzpatrick being there. I'd even bring it up, but he's going to open again. It's kind of been a little bit of a theme here. You get a better quarterback, it's going to only help your rushing attack. You know, it's going to open up some lanes. So there's no quarterback last year to play for Washington that was nowhere near, you know what I'm saying, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's not that bad.
One more thing I was going to say about this. They comped, and when I say they, I mean Ron Rivera and that coaching staff. They comped Antonio Gibson a CMC last year in training camp. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. they were comping him. And this is very, very important for a lot of different reasons. First off, he showed and proved, okay, like I said, that he could play this position. That's the most important thing. Second, they didn't say that just to say it. Ron Rivera seen CMC firsthand. And it doesn't stop with Ron Rivera. Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator for the Weasels, seen him too in Carolina. So they know what they're talking about when they say, hey, this guy right here, he could handle a specific type of workload. And guess what? We ran an offense that saw CMC flourish. We could do that with Gibson. So that's another reason why I like it a lot. So that's the last thing I wanted to throw in there. Let's go with our number 12, Bear the Fuck Down, Dynasty running back. Talk about Monty Burns, David Montgomery, Monty himself, man. And, man, we're going to continue talking about it, man. Finished number 4 in PPR last year. Ball the fuck
number
out.
Number what?
Number 4.
Where they have him at?
Where, yeah. We have him, we have him at 12. Oh, where do they have him at?
You know they, what I'm have saying? Him. What, they had him low last year.
Oh, yeah, man. They had him like 20s, I think around the 20s or some shit like that.
Disrespectful.
Right now, they have him as the 21st, as of right now.
Disrespectful.
So, you know, but there's an angle to that, right? There's an angle to that. So they want to talk about Tariq Cohen. You know, Tariq Cohen's coming back, and he's going to take away from that pass game, which is true. He's going to take away, you know, those receptions, you know, some of them. There's going to be a cap to it now, and, you know, I could see that happening. Damian Williams being there, I'm not worried about it. You need a solid backup, you know, just in case. You know, you don't want any injuries to happen, but if they do, you want to have a solid backup that could, you know, go ahead and take that role. And that's what Damian Williams is here to do. You know, he's here to spell him a little bit, but, you know, 17 games. I'm saying it's a longer season too, all that shit. But, you know, then you got Justin Fields. You got a quarterback that's capable, that's mobile, is going to keep the defense honest. It's going to help Monty as well. A lot of people want to say, hey, they played a weak-ass team towards the end of the year. That's the only reason. Matt Nagy wasn't calling the plays, and that's why they were rushing the ball more. Look, Nagy didn't like Mitch. He didn't want to call plays for Mitch because he limited his playbook. The Bears played calling plays that were similar to a Shanahan offense, but a lot less complex than that, very much so. So that's the only reason they switched to that. Nagy's going to be able to run his offense with Justin Fields. Monty's going to flourish. We got an improved O-line. That's going to equal to more scoring opportunities, more drives. Don't forget, Monty was third in the NFL in broken tackles. He could catch out of the backfield. He just doesn't stop. His effort is just unmatched, bro. Like, I've seen so many plays where they have him in a backfield and he just wiggles his way out of there and gets like 2-3 yards positive when it should have been a 3-4 yard loss. So Monty Burns coming in at number 12. And I know a lot of people are going to have him a lot, you know, lower than us, but that's cool, man. We see the potential. We know what's going to happen. Monty's going to get fed. He is going to be that red zone option. I love it, man. He's going to be in double-digit touchdowns for sure. I think he's going to be somewhere around 1,400 to 1,600 all-purpose yards because he's going to get featured that much. So that's where I'm at with Monty.
Jesus Christ. Man, I'm on boat. I'm on boat crazy. And this is not a, you know, nah, fuck that. This is a Bears show. Bear the fuck down. But this is not a biased show. We're talking real shit. And the things that Monty does and the things that he did, we saw it in Iowa State. It was a cyclone. And I remember talking to you, Brody, and telling you, you know, on the phone or in person, I need him to stop doing this pity pat shit. I need him to do the shit that he was doing in Iowa State. And I need him to go full head on and go and get these yards. And that's what he started to do at the end of the last season. And that's what he started to do to get up to, where did he finish? Running back 3?
4.
4. Okay. And they had him at 20-something. And they still have him at 20 something. They, meaning all the experts, quote unquote experts. Come on, man, stop playing. Improved offensive line, improved quarterbacks with an S. We have a lot of shit to talk about when it comes to Monty. And for us to have him at 12 in a dynasty, I mean, at least we have him in our top 12. You guys are sick in the head if you don't have him there. And we're talking dynasty right now.
Let's talk a little bit about shit. You brought up a point where they're saying, oh, at the end of the half, he was playing weak ass defenses. I got some numbers right here. Against Tampa Bay, he put up 18.9. Super Bowl fucking champs. Okay?
How much was that?
18.9 fantasy points in that game. 18.9. Running back gives you that number. I'm not mad at it. Okay? Against the Los Angeles Rams, he put up 11.9. Against New Orleans, he put up 12.5. But we got to remember that this is behind a weak-ass motherfucking offense that he had. You revamp. You give him a better O-line. You give him a little bit of better quarterback in Andy Dalton, or if Justin Fields is starting at that time, I see nothing but his numbers reaching the best. They don't want that smoke. They don't want it. Now we got the motherfucking third hardest schedule in the motherfucking NFL. Yeah, it comes to that shit. But at the same time, we seen him flash. We seen him do his thing. Stop fucking making excuses. Stop putting that man that motherfucking low when you know that he's a motherfucking dog and motherfucker could do it. I'm not saying that just because this is a Bears show. Take that all away.
He missed the game too.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, okay. Players aren't there and everything else like that though too. But come on, bro. If you can put up those type of numbers against those type of defenses though too, and with the offense that we had, he could do nothing but get better this season. And not only that, you okay, cool. You want to have a solid running back too and give him Damian Williams? We say like how we used to talk about last year when it came to Nick Chubb and motherfucking and Kareem Hunt. I'm not saying that that's what's going on in Chicago, that that's what we have yet to be proven type shit. But at the same time, if Damian Williams is in the game, now we got time for David Montgomery to get those pure touches and be rested and be good. Yep. We've seen how many broken tackles he has. Now if you're rested and you have that shit, who knows how many tackles he can fucking break then. So it's a 50-50 thing. You want to make an argument about our fucking schedule being fucking super easy at the end of the day? Fucking come on. You got to look at the O-line and look at everything else that we had going on
offense. Exactly.
Come on, bro. You know what I'm saying? We can make an argument for fucking everything.
But these guys made those predictions. These guys made those predictions last year based off of whatever they wanted to base it on. And he finished as an RB4 in PPR. And he did that. And they still have him as an RB20-something.
They don't believe in him.
Going into 2021. That's the disrespect. You know what? And that's absolutely cool. If you think that you're giving the best, whether it be fantasy advice or just bar talk. If you just want to talk at the bar, somebody like I wouldn't even talk to you if you were at the bar with me. I'm not even going to listen to you. This doesn't even become about fantasy anymore. I just would stop talking to you at that point. Like, how do you let this boy go to number 4 overall PPI, and then you're going to tell me that you're still ranking him at, like, come on, man, 20-something? You could do a lot of things, but you're not going to do anything with me. You could go ahead and, you know, catch that ride home. I'll call you an Uber, my boy.
Oh, yeah, man. Dynasty-wise, he's definitely fucking a sure fit, bro. Fantasy-wise, he's a sure fit. Dynasty-wise, he's still young. He's on the Bears. You know what I'm saying? We've only had him for what? He's only going into his third year here?
Yep.
Third year. Fucking.
He'll be all right, man.
Williams will probably be gone.
Look, man. We don't want to tell the people what we want to tell the people. But we know what the fuck is going on with 32.
I'm just saying,
man. Some running backs that are being taken before him: DeAndre Swift, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs. I'm not taking any of those guys ahead of Monty. I feel more secure with Monty, this team, where they're going. Yeah, man. I know the 60-something targets, almost 70. That's probably not going to happen. It's going to be probably in the 40s, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that too, because at the end of the day, we got a improved O-line, better improved quarterback. Our coaches are going to be able to coach their scheme exactly how they want, and it's going to lead to more scoring drives, longer drives in general, and it's going to feature Monty a lot more. So I feel really, really good. I don't know why people are really off him like that. 23 years old.
Love it. Love it.
23 years old, this guy. Come on, man.
I love it. I love it, bro. I love the fact that they're off of him. I love the fact that they don't believe in him. I love the fact that he knew that when he came out of college.
That, you see the swag? Hey, you guys been seeing the swag from him? He's just like, he's so lit, bro. Like happy as fuck on the field. You know what I'm saying? Coming off of practice, like, hey, what's good, Chicago? This, that, and the other. Like, he's ready, absolutely, bro. This whole team has a vibe. They have a vibe right now.
Yes, not too long ago in the beginning of the month, bro. Happy birthday, man, motherfucking David Montgomery, bro. Happy belated, bro. We know that you're gonna snap off. We know that you're
3-2, 3-2.
Yes, sir.
32, baby. You already know.
You doing your thing, bro.
Go ahead and do that first pitch at Old Comiskey Park. Old Comiskey Park over there.
Guys that motherfucking listen to those fucking to that snap and listen off to those motherfucking stats, that means he's gonna be available in leagues that, you know, that maybe Sweetness and motherfucking and Smoke and Jay aren't a part of, but I will be, you know, because I know they're gonna go get him too. So yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's going as a running back too. I mean, that's easy. That's easy money right there. So definitely somebody you guys got to target. Get him in Dynasty. Get him everywhere you can, man. Monty's being disrespected, but the disrespect stops here, baby. Bear down. All right, man. I think we good. We good on this one. 1-12. You know, to recap, we had CMC number 1, Jonathan Taylor number 2, Dalvin Cook number 3, Kamara at 4, Saquads at 5, Nick Chubb at 6, number 7, we had
the king.
Yeah, King. No. Zeke. We had Zeke.
Oh, shit.
King Henry at 8, Akers at 9, Najee Harris at 10, Antonio Banderas, Gibson 11, and Monty Burns, David Montgomery at 12, man. I love this list. Next episode, we will give you guys the 13 through 24 Dynasty running back rankings. We're going to close it out. And that's it, man. That's all I got, man. You guys got anything for the people?
Yeah. 13 through 24. I almost mixed up my shit. 13 to 24 is going to be lit. It's going to be fucking lit.
Yeah.
I thought 1 to 12 was fire. We're going to talk about that 13 through 24 like a motherfucker. That's your league winners. That's the shit that we do. That's where we get deep and we dive real deep.
Yes, sir.
Pause.
Never said, man. Happy Father's Day to all the Father's Day out there, man. Like you said, man. Happy Juneteenth, the federal holiday, bro, man. We're looking out for you guys, man. We're bringing you that heat. You know what I'm saying? I hope you're listening to shit, man. We got a lot of shit coming up, bro.
Stay tuned. Yeah. Yeah. We grinding over here like the clips, baby. So we're going to be pumping out these episodes some more. Edits are coming in. All that stuff, man. Shout out the squad. Shout out the bros. Shout out the gang, everybody that's rocking with us. And shout out to you guys, too, man. We appreciate the shit out of you guys, man. To the next one, bear the fuck down. Let's go, baby.